New roof. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Looking for that picture-perfect lawn? Look no more. DynaGreen and DynaGreenInfo.com. With their DynaGreen long-lasting, that's zero-phosphorus fertilizer that delivers extended brilliant color for weeks and months. It won't stain the sidewalks, driveways, or patios and can be applied all year long. DynaGreen long-lasting at your independent lawn and garden dealer or DynaGreenInfo.com. You can find DynaGreen at Kirkwood Material.
How many companies can trace their roots back to the 1904 World's Fair in Forest Park? Renoco Coffee can, and our headquarters and roasting plant are still located in the heart of St. Louis. We have grown with this city, and today, with thousands of customers in the region, our passion is serving those who serve our products.
Travel back in time with Circus Flora's all-new Big Top Show. Experience this St. Louis summertime tradition May 28th through June 28th. Visit circusflora.org for tickets.
Grab your coat and get your hat. Leave your worry on the doorstep. Just direct your feet to the sunny side of the street. Can't you hear a pitter-pat? And that happy tune is your step. Life can be so sweet on the sunny side of the street. I used to walk in the shade with those blues on parade, but I'm not afraid. This rover,
thank God it's Friday,
crossed over. If I never have a cent, I'll be rich as Rockefeller. Gold dust at my feet on the sunny side of the street.
Welcome to the Friday edition of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon here on the Big 550 KTRS. I am Paul Harris, Dan Strauss, Ian Geis here in the studio with me. I'm here on the right day.
Yes.
I believe
it's
so.
It's Friday again.
Horrible weather. We had a power hit to the building a little while ago. Fortunately, the always cutting-edge technology of KTRS did not have any problems.
You're going to have to pick up that line that's blinking there.
This line right here?
Yes.
Or this line right here?
Yes.
Hello?
Paul?
Yeah.
It's Frank.
Oh, hi, Frank.
Paul, I just think we ought to take a moment here, this on a serious note, to stop and just for a moment and think about those who will be injured or killed today in the storm.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're listening to FM radio. I was just on the road, and there was a horrible, horrible accident. I don't know if the weather has hit Westport yet, but out where I am,
yeah,
it tore through here.
Oh, here too.
And I was, I was on the highway, and there was an accident. There was a family, and the police officer, after they pulled the people out and took them to the hospital, I pulled over, and I said, is there anything I could do? And he just looked at me, and he said, well, it never fails. Take a look. And I looked in there, and there's... The radio was on an FM station.
Oh.
He said they never saw it coming. He said, no warning.
No.
Listening, riding along, and next thing you know, it's on top of them. So,
see, we have the early warning alert system built into our signal that they do not have.
Yes.
Well, we've talked about this a lot. I feel bad for the people who will be injured, maybe killed, who are listening to FM.
Yeah.
They drive along, and the windows are up, and they're listening to some rap or something, and not a clue what's about to happen.
Well, I also worry about the people who are now using the free KTRS smartphone app, which gets a direct feed, not from our transmitter, but from the studio. And so they're not, are they hooked up to the early warning alert system?
No, Paul, they're not. And I wouldn't surprise me if, well, I don't guess there'll be a lawsuit or they'd be suing FM stations left and right,
mm-hmm,
for not warning. There's no rule law that says you have to warn people. I just think people need to remember that AM, this is by design. We could have cleaned the signal up a long time ago.
Sure, we wouldn't want the crackle and the static. Why would we want that?
I was actually in the meeting in Washington with the FCC, and they asked me what I thought, and they said, what do you think? Digitize it, make it? I said, yeah, what, and kill people? And that was
sorry
pretty
to
much it. I just, that was all. I'm so proud of the fact that we have the technology to save lives.
Well, I'm glad that you're on the show today, and I do want to just finish with one question. Am I getting paid for today?
Yeah, you're gonna take me for the day.
All right.
That was all. Every time a storm comes up, I just so grateful.
Is this your assignment on Fridays? Are you a storm chaser?
Assignment.
Well, I guess now it's out.
Thanks, Dan.
Wow. Oh,
yeah. Storm chaser, lifesaver.
Oh yeah.
On the back of my car, bumper sticker.
I mean, because we have the technology in the building to make the signal crystal clear.
Oh, yes. Here we do.
But we choose to add in that storm sensor, so you get the crackle.
I wasn't going to say this. We experimented years ago. I was on the signal. It was a country music signal, and we did a brief experiment where we cleared the signal up. In storms, it wouldn't crackle and break up, and we did it for 2 days. And
you okay?
We lost a family.
Dedicated
listeners.
Horrible.
I know when you were in Washington, you said, I'm not here to talk about the past. I only want to save lives in the future.
That's exactly what I said. Yeah. Thank you, Dan. Well, that's it. I won't take any more time. Just you AM and the PMers, boy, we're so lucky.
Yeah. And that's why we're here for you. This public service announcement brought to you by Frank O'Pinion.
All right. Thank you, Paul.
Thank you, Frank.
Bye-bye.
Have a good weekend. Nothing to laugh at, Dan.
No, it was like nervous laughter.
I understand. He never did say, am I getting paid for today?
No, yeah,
he, no, he just chuckled.
Oh, he laughed.
Because the paychecks are going to stop. I ain't coming in anymore.
He laughed.
We have a lot of stuff to get to on today's show. In about 15 minutes, Carl Reiner is going to be back on the show. I've actually lost track.
Up-and-comer?
Yeah, of this young up-and-coming talent who I think has a future. He's got his umpteenth book out now. That's not what it's called. It's not called My Umpteenth Book.
That would have been a good title.
It is. No, it's called What I Forgot to Remember. Because he's written a couple of previous autobiographies, and every time he finishes, he face palms and goes, I forgot to put that in there. And so there he has another book. And so he'll be on today to talk about that. And I understand, and I will verify this with him, that the man who created one of the greatest TV shows in history, certainly top 10 sitcom, The Dick Van Dyke Show, is finally, at age 93, getting around to writing a book about that experience and about creating that show.
And wasn't he,
Yes, he was Alan Brady on the show.
Boy, that's when you know you have lived a life where you can forget enough after you write a book, and you forget enough material to fill an entire new book.
Well, that's why it's always funny to me when, you know, Miley Cyrus or somebody has an autobiography.
It's like, what life have you lived yet?
Exactly! Exactly. And by the way, that's the one for the Miley Cyruses of the world. There's no second chapter for them. They don't go at the end, oh, you know what I forgot to put in there? Nothing. I don't have anything else. Everything in my life is in that book. So we'll have Carl on in about 15 minutes. And then in the 4 o'clock hour, Colin will come here, switch to his showbiz boy alter ego, and review this new Mad Max movie. Fury Road is the subtitle.
I didn't get into the first Mad Max.
The first three I did not get into. Colin walked in here today and said, I'm not going to say anything off the air, but, you know, it is in a post-apocalyptic future. And I said, well, I'm not going.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
He says, I know. That's one ticket they're not going to sell you. So, but he'll review it and tell us whether it's worth your time and money a little bit later on. And then this is the weekend that Mad Men is finishing its 8-year run on AMC. Sunday night will be the final episode. And there's a great history of the show in this week's Time magazine and on the Time.com website written by their TV critic, James Poniewozik. And I've asked him to join us today and talk about that show because he has some great stories in there and some great insights into it. So we'll have that. Then we'll have the Harris Challenge in the 5 o'clock hour. Then we'll have Mike Evans. And then we'll have Knuckleheads in the News. And then, you know,
the show just writes itself.
At that point, it's up to Sandy Miller at 6 o'clock. We're going to be too tired and she'll just have to do a half hour of news. So that's what's coming up here this afternoon. I hope you're having a good palindrome week. Are you aware of the palindrome week thing?
No.
Today's date is 5/15/15, 5/1/5/1/5. Same backwards and forwards. That's what a palindrome is. Yesterday was 5/1/4/1/5, same backwards. This entire week, every single day was the same backwards and forwards. I've always been interested in palindromes ever since my daughter was a little kid, and she had a book about palindromes, which started with the simplest one, Bob. A guy named Bob, his name is a palindrome. So technically it would be boob.
Yes.
So would Madam, I'm Adam. And I remember a few from the book, and a couple of others I had to go look up. Nurses Run.
Nurses Run?
Same backwards and forwards. Evil Olive. Same backwards and forwards.
Hmm.
Then there are a couple I had to go find online. Marge lets Nora see Sharon's telegram.
Wow.
Now, you know that's really old because it has the word telegram in it. Are there still telegrams? Can you send someone a telegram?
Race car, oh, right? Race car.
Race car would be one, yeah. Here's another one. Was it a car or a cat I saw?
Hmm.
Never odd or even. And my all-time favorite, and I remember this from the book. I didn't have to look this up. This is what made me think of the book. Favorite palindrome of all time. Go hang a salami. I'm a lasagna hog. You're never going to use it in conversation, but it's a great thing to bring up with people and you talk about palindrome.
Do you want to know what the longest palindrome is?
I would love to know that.
Apparently, Peter Norvig, he was a computer scientist, and he was inspired to create a record-breaking palindrome, and it's a sequence of words that read, you know, the same, backwards as forwards. His turned out to be 74,633 letters.
Okay.
17,826 words.
Okay, don't. I bet it's one of those that doesn't necessarily make sense.
No, it doesn't make... Well, I don't... Yeah.
How does
I don't
it start?
Think,
just give us like a...
A man, a plan, a cameo. Xena, bird, mocha, prowl. Yeah, so
yeah,
it's apparently
see?
Just...
Oh. Yeah. I'll just put these words down and then we'll reverse them and
yeah.
Figure out... Yeah,
that will end
that's
with...
It's got to make sense.
A canal, Panama.
Go hang a salami. I'm a lasagna hog.
Yeah.
That's the one.
That makes sense.
Yeah, that one makes sense.
Wednesday night, I was at the Peabody Opera House. Neil deGrasse Tyson was on, the guy who hosted Cosmos on Fox last year, and is an astrophysicist and brilliant guy. He's been on The Daily Show with Jon Stewart many, many times. Probably the preeminent voice of science in this country. And he came to the Peabody on Wednesday night, and my wife and I went, and the place was packed. Not a seat open in the house. So 3,000 people came out to watch a lecture by a scientist. How cool is that?
Yeah.
And he's very entertaining and puts things in terms that non-scientists like us can understand and is so brilliant. He was on stage with no break, no intermission for 3 hours.
Holy moly.
Now, the last 45 minutes or so of that was Q&A with the audience. He answered about a dozen questions from the audience, but he told stories about astronomy and climate change and all sorts of interesting things about, you know, the creation of the universe and why Pluto's not a planet anymore and
why is Pluto not a planet anymore?
Oh, it's a whole long story.
Oh.
15 years ago, they decided it's a dwarf planet. Especially because it's only 1/5 the mass of our moon. Our moon wouldn't qualify as a planet, so why would something smaller than it qualify? He talked about all sorts of fascinating things. He is unbelievable. And if you don't follow him on Twitter, I would strongly suggest you do, at Neil Tyson, because whenever there's a science fiction movie that comes out, he critiques it from the scientist's point of view, but kind of tongue-in-cheek. He, like Interstellar last year, he kind of ripped it apart, but tongue-in-cheek because he knows it's just a movie. I mentioned that he's been on The Daily Show with Jon Stewart. He was on a couple of years ago, and the first thing he said was, before you ask me any questions, why is your Earth rotating the wrong way in your intro?
Not too many people would notice.
And he made a big deal about that, and he went back on there recently, and Jon Stewart said, you know, before the show, I go out and I say hello to the audience and ask them if they have any questions. There has not been a night that's gone by since your appearance 2 years ago that somebody hasn't asked, why didn't you fix the Earth spinning? So,
how much are tickets for something like
free.
That?
Free. They're free. All TV shows are free. They can't. They don't charge you to get in.
Oh, okay.
But you got to go to New York to see him.
No, but you saw him at the Peabody.
Right? Oh, to see Neil Tyson. I think they were $75.
Wow.
Something like that.
So people are paying like $75.
And we
a
sat
seat.
Upstairs in the mezzanine. Yeah. They were probably more expensive downstairs.
So they're paying that to go in and basically hear a guy lecture about science.
And he had a slideshow with his laptop on a big screen. And it was
absolutely very listenable, though. That's why there's only a handful of people that can do something like that.
If you've ever met a scientist at a party somewhere, some guy you didn't know, what do you do? Oh, I'm an astrophysicist. And he's started talking to you. 13 seconds later, you go, I lost you. I don't know what you're talking about.
It's kind of like why Bill Nye is famous, because he can kind of do that the same way, where
dumb it
makes it interesting and
bring it to your level.
Absolutely. Yeah. Talk to you like you're not an astrophysicist.
Or a child, essentially.
Yeah, exactly. For those of us who halfway through chemistry class in high school went, I'm sorry, a bond? What? I don't get it. I don't know what you're talking about.
Head goes down to desk to sleep.
Yeah.
So I don't know anything about this guy. I just heard when you said that.
Yeah, go to YouTube and listen to some of his speeches.
Neil deGrasse Tyson. Okay. Fantastic. Also, last weekend I went to see Lewis Black, also at the Peabody. Not good. Very disappointing.
I saw your write-up of that.
Yeah, I published a review of it. I called it my disappointment rant, because all he did through the evening was rant with no punchlines.
Yeah, that's just irritating. Yeah. Just to hear somebody complain and nothing funny.
Yeah, it would seem like, oh, he's building up to something here. No, there was a lot of, that angry, shaky finger pointing and the what I call jowl juggling, where it goes, he does that a lot.
But he does that very well.
Well.
But usually there was something funny accompanying that.
So I asked a friend of mine who knows about this sort of stuff, how come Lewis Black's so funny on The Daily Show, when he does his Back in Black segment? And my friend, again, industry insider, said he doesn't write those. Jon Stewart's writers write those in his voice, and Lewis Black just comes in and performs them.
Oh.
So that says a lot. That says a lot. And the last thing I've done in the last week that I wanted to mention, Roger McGuinn was at the Wiley Theater in Edwardsville last Friday.
I wanted to get your take on the Wiley.
Beautiful, beautiful building.
Yes.
And Al Canal, our friend, is booking the shows there, and bringing in all sorts of acts to perform. They still occasionally will show movies, but he's also using the stage as a showplace. And Roger McGuinn was there. And he had something, Dan, you as a musician, I don't know if you've ever heard of. First of all, he comes out and he's playing his six-string Rickenbacker electric, and he does some old bird songs. And then he sits down in a chair, and he's got his five-string banjo, he's got his 12-string acoustic, and he's got a six-string acoustic and a seven-string acoustic.
Yeah.
You've heard of a seven-string acoustic?
Yes. Yeah.
He
invented it?
Yes. He went to the people at Gibson and said, can you put a second string in the next to one of the middle strings so it's like the harmony of on a 12 string, but without all 12 strings? Just that one string I want to have as a harmony. Just make that for me. And they made it, and he started playing it, and other musicians said, that's fantastic. I want some. And because of that, Gibson made a Roger McGuinn signature seven-string guitar.
My buddy Tim Reynolds has one. And he plays a seven. He'll play a seven-string once
in
a while.
And it sounds very different, doesn't it?
Yes. Yeah.
So Roger was there and told some great stories. And it's always fun to hear him talking about his history as a rock and roll musician. Then the last thing I want to mention, then we'll get Carl Reiner in here in a few minutes. I had a business meeting downtown this week, and I had to park on Washington Avenue at a meter. And I had no change.
Oh.
But I saw a sticker on the meter that you can use an app called Parkmobile or Parkmobile. So I download it, and you can charge it to your credit card, and you can tell through the app, you tell the meter how much time you want. And it goes directly into the meter.
Really?
And then you get a notification if you have it set up on your phone. 15 minutes before the meter is going to run out, it texts you and says, your meter is going to run out in 15 minutes.
Wow, what a cool idea.
And I was inside the building, still in this meeting, and so I added an extra half hour from my phone without having to go outside, find change, go to a store, and any of that.
Wow, that's great.
What took them so long?
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, I will say, they do charge a service fee for that.
Oh, sure.
You know how much the service fee was for that extra half hour? 35 cents. I don't care.
Yeah.
I didn't have to leave what I was doing to go outside and ask somebody for change and all that sort of thing. It would have run out. Fantastic. Fantastic idea. Love technology. This is the Big 550 KTRS. Carl Reiner coming up next.
Meet me.
All right. I'm sure this weather moving through has caused lots and lots of problems so far early on in this rush hour. Here's Tim Weiland. Tim.
It has, but I was listening to you guys opening up, and I guess I'm the minority. Man, I love Mad Max.
You do?
Oh, I like Mad Max.
And
I like
Thunderdome.
And I like Road Warriors, but I didn't like Thunderdome.
You hate Tina Turner.
No,
we all know that.
No, it just didn't have the zing. But the first two I loved. I'm kind of looking for. I don't go to movies, but this might be one I might go see.
Well, we'll find out from Colin whether it's worth your time and money. Next hour.
That sounds good.
Yep.
All right, on westbound 44 at Bowles, you've got a crash that has the left lane blocked. It's a solid jam from Lindbergh there. Now, they had the highway shut down on westbound 40 at 70. It looks like they've reopened it and maybe moved everything to the shoulder, but you've got a jam up. Let's go with westbound 40 now is jammed up, approaching Kings Highway through McCausland, heavy again from Lindbergh out through Timberlake Manor, and then stopped up from Winghaven through Highway 70. Southbound 270, that's a log jam from Dorset all the way down through Highway 44. Same thing on southbound 170 from Olive down through Highway 40, and eastbound 270. It's jammed up pretty well now between Highway 370 all the way through Washington Elizabeth. This traffic report is brought to you by Choice Hotels. When you need to travel to an old friend or coworker, there's a Choice Hotel nearby. Plus, you can earn rewards for your stays as a member of their Choice Privileges program. Visit choicehotels.com and find a hotel where you're headed. From the Golden Oak Lending Traffic Center, Tim Weiland on the Big 550 KTRS.
Hailstones in your yard. Beautiful sunrises. Floodwaters in your street. Incredible sunsets. Scary cloud formations moving in. There are just as many kinds of weather photographs taken as there are many different kinds of weather. And we'd like to post yours on our website or social media. When you see bad weather or beautiful weather, share your images with us at weather550@ktrs.com. Be sure to let us know your name and where the photograph was taken, and your images could be seen by people all over the planet on ktrs.com.
One of the best ways of saving money on your home energy costs is through insulation. Having a house with poor insulation is kind of like taking your money and tossing it into the wind. If your home isn't properly insulated, it's allowing cold air to seep in the winter and the hot air to seep in the summer. But you can save hundreds, even thousands of dollars a year on your energy costs with one call to Aladdin Insulation at 636-947-8000. For over 65 years, Aladdin Insulation has been making homes and commercial buildings more energy efficient. Aladdin Insulation can install spray foam, standard fiberglass, or blown fiberglass, dramatically lowering your energy costs by 20% or more. It even improves sound and noise control. Aladdin also installs gutters and gutter protection. Call them for a free assessment of your home or commercial building at 636-947-8000. That's 636-947-8000. Or see their website at mascocs.com. Start saving on your energy costs now. Call Aladdin Insulation at 636-947-8000.
Homes are selling very quickly in today's market. Kathy Helbig of the Kathy Helbig Group is with us. Kathy, how should buyers prepare when looking for a new home?
Well, align yourself with a knowledgeable agent team like us. Homes are selling quickly and often for above asking price. We network with other agents to find coming soon homes before they even hit the market.
Kathy Helbig, what makes buying or selling experience different with your group?
We have one of the highest selling real estate groups because we have a team of specialists dedicated to a client's individual needs, such as design and staging, marketing, and buying. Buyer specialist.
How are you using technology to help your client?
Our clients can utilize iPad minis that are preloaded with various apps that help make the home buying process smooth and fun.
Great.
It allows for direct communication with our clients, and they have the most up-to-date information right at their fingertips.
That's fantastic. That's Kathy Helbig of the Kathy Helbig Group and co-owner of Keller Williams Realty West Real Estate. She's an expert on KSDK Channel 5, and she's with us weekly on the Big 550 KTRS. Check her out online at KathyHelbigGroup.com or 314-276-SOLD.
The flowers are blooming. The trees are green. This is the time of year to put your feet up and enjoy the outdoors in your yard. But on what? On that old rickety weathered patio furniture?
Instead, head to Suburban Leisure Center to take advantage of 20 to 40% off new patio sets. Suburban Leisure Center has a great selection of everything you'd need to have yourself a mini resort in your yard, with patio furniture from all the top brands, plus umbrellas and just about everything you'd need to make you go, ah, on the patio. And at 20 to 40% off, isn't it time to replace that old weathered outdoor furniture you've put up with for years? What are you waiting for? With Suburban Leisure Center's unmatched selection and prices, you'll get what you need for less. Suburban Leisure Center is on Olive, just a mile west of 141. Better merchandise at better prices at Suburban Leisure Center. Online at suburbanleisurecenter.com.
Do you want to make a ton of money flipping houses in your local area?
Would you like to learn the secrets to making millions in your spare time?
If so, we have an amazing opportunity.
Sorry, but if something sounds too good to be true, it probably is. We've all seen the guys on late night TV promising untold riches from real estate. The fact is, they're not telling the whole truth. Look, the rich don't rely on gimmicks. They get richer because they understand the new rules of money. You need to attend a totally free Rich Dad Education Workshop coming to the St. Louis area based on the teachings from the best-selling book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. Discover strategies to make money in real estate in any economy, and why you should fire yourself and become your own boss. Attend this free Rich Dad Education event coming to the St. Louis area this Tuesday through Thursday. Reserve your place now at richdadmissouri.com or call 1-800-617-8283. That's 1-800-617-8283. Register now and get a free gift just for attending. Visit richdadmissouri.com or call 1-800-617-8283 today.
Additional products and services will be offered for sale.
If you're a safe, experienced, courteous, professional driver with a valid Class A CDL, the Afton Trucking family is looking for you. For the past 46 years, they've offered truckers a home with health coverage and other great benefits. Don't let this opportunity pass you by. Put your future in gear. Join the Flying A fleet and spend weeknights with your family. Call 1-800-727-0187 or go to AftonTrucking.com. Again, you should call 1-800-727-0187 or go to AftonTrucking.com. That's AFFTON Trucking.com. Your future is now with the Afton Trucking family, an equal opportunity employer.
Hi, this is Jeff Lapidus, the retirement coach. If you want to make smart choices about your retirement planning, listen to my show, Straight Talk on Retirement, this Saturday at 10 a.m. here on the Big 550 KTRS.
Dear obsessed fans of St. Louis Bread Company's Strawberry Poppy Seed and Chicken Salad, the Strawberry Poppy Seed and Chicken Salad has returned, only at St. Louis Bread Company. It's almost here, and it's celebrating its 14th year. Art on the Square, May 15th through the 17th at Belleville's Public Square. See over 100 artists from around the country and around the world. Meet Tiffany Brooks, HGTV Design Star winning designer, on the Living with Design Arts stage Saturday and Sunday. There'll also be a fantastic array of food and wine available for your enjoyment, along with music acts all weekend long. Shuttle service is provided from the Shield Street Metrolink station. There's fun for the whole family, and admission is free at Art on the Square.
That music, of course, is the theme song to one of the greatest sitcoms in television history, The Dick Van Dyke Show. My next guest was the man who created that show. You also may know him from his roles in Ocean's 11, 12, and 13, or classic movies like The Russians Are Coming, The Russians Are Coming, or for directing Steve Martin's first few movies, including The Jerk and The Man with Two Brains. He was on with me a couple of years ago when he wrote an autobiography called I Remember Me, and then he published that and realized I didn't get all the stories in. So last year he wrote I Just Remembered. And he came on, and we talked about that. And then after that was published, apparently, he said, oh, wait, I still have a few more stories in me. And so he's now out with a new autobiography called What I Forgot to Remember. Carl Reiner, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Paul, this is unbelievable. You played that Dick Van Dyke theme, and in front of me, in my computer, I'm doing my newest book, and I'm going to give you the title of it, How, When, Where, and I Was When the Dick Van Dyke Show Was Born.
I am so glad that you're finally writing the history of the Dick Van Dyke Show.
Yes, I'm 11 pages into it, and I think if I live, I'm 93, I have to live long enough to finish it.
You just keep setting new records for oldest man to publish a book.
I know. Yes, I mentioned that in one of my books. Yes. Yeah, it's not the quality of. Comparing myself to the quality of these writers, but as far as being old, I'm the oldest writer I know. I have it in the book. Tolstoy was 60. I don't know. Shakespeare was 38. What is the title of that? It's funny. I got the book in front of me, and I go. That was. Yeah, what is it? The oldest. I'm looking it up. The jokes I delivered.
Are you Googling yourself, Carl?
Yeah, no. I have the book in front of me, and I'm looking for the titles of the chapters. And the oldest. Yeah, have a book published on page 123.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, one of the things about this book that I absolutely love, and people do tell me they love it too, I have a picture on every page.
Mm-hmm.
When I mention somebody, there's a picture of them.
Your photographic records are remarkable, and I'm glad you saved all those so that you can put them into the book.
Yeah, we also have the fellow who's publishing it with me. We Google things. We find things that on the internet that mm-hmm. are mind-boggling. Now here, Tolstoy was 81, Mark Twain 75, Dostoevsky 59, Dickens 58, Edna Ferber 74, Kafka 41. Victor Hugo, 83, among them. Jane Austen, 44. Gertrude Stein, 72. F. Scott Fitzgerald, 54. At the bottom, I say Gore Vidal, 86. Voltaire, 84. Saul Bellow, 90. And Salinger, 91. And I say here, if either Saul Bellow and Salinger had lived a little longer, I probably would have dumped this chapter.
Not only that, you say in the book that you may hold the record for most years, or I guess longest time span, of appearing on television.
Yes. It came about when I was doing Hot in Cleveland with Betty Allen. Betty White, she said that she was called by the Guinness Book of Records, having been in television longer than any woman. And I said, hey, wait a minute. You know something? I think I should get that book, because I was in television when the shows that existed, nobody's ever heard of, the Maggie McNellis Crystal Room, the Fashion Story, the Earl Wrightson Show. And I said, those were in 47, 48, I said. And I remember one of the shows, it was called The Fashion Story, was in the ABC building, that one they have now in New York on 67th Street and 5th Avenue, was an old horse rink. Horses were in that. There was one studio downstairs, and I remember going across the sawdust. There was still the smell of manure. And there was one studio that had the news, and then we did the thing called The Fashion Story, a half hour little situation comment.
I have worked in some crappy facilities, but that
is the crappiest.
Yes, it was exactly crappy.
Can I go back to the Dick Van Dyke Show for just a moment?
Absolutely.
How good a sketch comedian was your character, Alan Brady?
Well, Alan Brady, how good a what?
A sketch comedian, because that's what I assume that you based him a little bit on Sid Caesar, who was a sketch comedian.
No, as a matter of fact, I'm glad you asked that question, because it was nothing like Sid Caesar.
Oh.
Sid Caesar and I worked together for 9 years. I worked with him, and we lunched every day. He mm-hmm. was a friend.
Yep.
Maybe the most talented comedian that ever worked in television. No, not maybe, inarguably. But I based the character, you know, you have to have a protagonist, somebody that the hero puts the hero down and has to fight. The hero has to fight for his rights. I based it on three people. One was Phil Silvers, who played in a thing called Top Banana. And he did a combination of Milton Berle, who was a very noisy, loud-mouthed comedian who yelled at everybody,
mm-hmm.
blew a whistle when he wanted something, and Jackie Gleason, who never spoke to his writers. They used to write a script. He wouldn't talk to them. They'd have to shove it under his door in his hotel room. And so those three characters were the basis of Alan Brady.
And was Alan Brady their equal in your mind?
Well, yes, but he really wasn't. Because and as a matter of fact, when I first invented that guy, I said, I I didn't want to play him. I was looking for somebody. I said, no, but I said, they said, why don't you play him? And I said, you know, it's not going to look right. I said, I'm going to, you know, a second banana. And they're going to say, he's not a. So at the first few years, a couple of years, I had my face buried in a phone, or they shot from my back, or a barber was working, put a towel over my face. And so, and finally, we started writing scripts that required more acting from this guy, and we turned him around. I think it was Persky and Denoff who wrote a show called the Toupee Show, you know.
The one where you reveal that you're actually bald, it's Laura Petry, Mary Tyler Moore's character, who reveals on national TV that Alan Brady is bald.
Yeah, that was one of the best shows we ever did. It was written by my two guys who saved my life, Bill Persky and Sam Denoff. I was alone for 3 years. I was my own story editor, and I was really, really lonely, and I worked Saturdays and Sundays. And when these two guys came along in the third year and wrote this particular show, I said, they really saved my life. They became story editors. And the last year, when I went to do Russian Succumbing, they actually took over the last 12 shows.
So that was the first time Alan Brady appeared bald on the show. Was that also the first time Carl Reiner was bald on TV?
I walked around bald. As a matter of fact, it was Fred McMurray who once asked me, he says, you walk around bald sometimes. He says, he never did. And he says, how do you choose when to wear a wig and when not? I says, well, I wear it when I feel like I want to be tuxedoed. I want to look my best. And so if I go to an event that's where 1,000 or 2,000 people are, it's televised, I'll wear it. If I go to a smaller event, I won't wear it. And as a matter of fact, every time I wore it, I always told the audience I was wearing a toupee. I could not feel comfortable lying to them.
You have a story in the new book, What I Forgot to Remember, about the Walnuts episode, which is my all-time favorite, the one with Danny Thomas as the guest star, and Rob thinks he's losing his mind and losing his thumbs as well. And there's a very famous scene where Rob runs to the closet at the front of the Petry home and opens it up, and Mary Tyler Moore, who looked fantastic, comes spilling out along or on top of I don't know how many walnuts. Do you know how many walnuts it was?
I know exactly. There were 1,000 pounds of walnuts, and when we finished, they said, we can't take them back, the walnut factory, because they're soiled now. Everybody was taking bags of walnuts home. The thing that I loved about that is, right in my desk, a foot away from where I'm, if I pulled out a drawer, there's a little walnut. If I open the walnut, there's a little hand with no thumb, and on it, in the very smallest printing done by man, Saul Bass, the great illustrator, wrote, thank you for a wonderful show.
Hmm.
And that's been sitting on my desk since then. I felt it was one of our best shows.
You also wrote Jerry Van Dyke in to act as Rob Petry's brother. He, of course, in real life is Dick Van Dyke's brother. How did that happen?
Well, that was interesting because one day, sitting around the table, he got a call from his brother, and we spoke a while. And I said, "Where is he?" He says, "Well, he's in he's doing a tour of the Hugh Hefner Playboy clubs," and he says he's been on tour for 2 years. He's doing very well. I said, "When's the last time you saw him?" He's all a couple of years ago. I said, would you like to see him? He said, yeah. I said, why don't I write a show for him and he can come in? He said, would you? And I said, tell me something about him, anything. He said, well, when he was about 8 or 10 years old, he was a sleepwalker. He actually left the house, walked in the street, and people would call and say, pick up your son. He's sitting in my living room.
Wow.
Across the town. And so I said, that's all I need. And I remember when I started writing it, and I'm sitting at the same desk looking out the same window I did when I wrote that, and I said, you know, Dick, I said, can your brother act? Because I can't do this in one episode. I have to have two, and if we do it, can he act? Oh, he says, he can act. I said, how do you know? He says, if he because if he can't, I'll kill him. And he came in. He was sensational.
Carl, you've been on with me so many times, and we've had wonderful conversations about your relationship with Johnny Carson and your appearances on that show. But we're now just four shows away from the end of David Letterman's 33-year run.
Oh boy,
in late night.
So sad, so sad.
I wonder if you ever had any kind of relationship with him, and what you thought of your experiences with him.
You know, I think I only think I didn't go do. He's in New York, right?
Yeah.
And that was one of the problems. I didn't get to New York very often. I think I did a couple with him. No, he was always wonderful. I mean, I always thought he was very good and very different. And the thing, when he did that 9/11 broadcast, he showed the depth of his intelligence.
Yep.
And by the way, his replacement, I think, is going to be one of the best ever.
Stephen Colbert?
Yes. He is an extraordinarily gifted man.
Yep.
I heard him being interviewed once straight. I have never heard a more decent human being. I fell in love with him. I say, as a great human being, as a father, as a husband, as a citizen, he's just unusual. I can't imagine what a show is going to be. But for him to play that crazy, turned it upside down and make, he played a right-wing nut, and he played him so well and hurt himself. You know?
Yeah, he's absolutely brilliant, and I'm looking forward to seeing what he does in the fall. All right, before I let you go, here we are in St. Louis, Missouri, and you served in the Army at a base here in Missouri, and you have a story in the book about you and your lovely wife, Estelle, honeymooning in Missouri.
By the way, the cover of the book, what I forgot to remember, is a watercolor she did in Neosho, Missouri, when she came to visit me. And my wife was an extraordinarily good painter. Doing a watercolor portrait is almost impossible because you make one little mistake, you have to toss it, and you can't repair anything like you can with an oil painting. And this was a one-shot thing. She did it. I mean, I'm looking at it now, and I can't believe how she did it. But anyway, take a look at the cover.
I've seen it, and it is beautiful. But tell the story about the little honeymoon. It wasn't even a cottage. It was a room.
Yes, there was somebody. We needed a room to stay in, and it was a three-room apartment that this woman leased out. And we were in the first room. It was a railroad apartment. The second room was, and the third room were two other couples, Army couples. And the bathroom was right next to our room, and all night long, people would be going to the bathroom, passing our bed.
They had to go through your room
to get to their
rooms.
Oh, right by our bed. They brushed their legs brushed our bed as they went to the bathroom.
Wow!
And you know, to have fine consortium time in that kind of situation was very difficult. Finally, we rigged up a clothesline from the wall of near the toilet to the next wall behind us, and we put a sheet up, so we were hidden from view for the last five nights we were there, or whatever. I think she was there for 2 weeks.
Wow. It was almost like you were Claudette Colbert and Clark Gable, and it happened one night.
Yes, that happened one night.
Yeah. That's one of the stories, and there are so many more, along with these great pictures from Carl's archives. The book is called What I Forgot to Remember, at least the third in a series of autobiographies. You're taking a break from that to write the Dick Van Dyke book. I'm looking forward to that, and hopefully next year when that one's published, you'll come back on and we can talk a little bit more.
Oh, I would love to, Paul. That means I lived another year. I'll be 94 then.
You got to keep pushing that oldest author thing.
I know.
Thanks, Carl.
Thank you, Paul.
Carl Reiner here with Paul Harris on the Big 550 KTRS.
Meet me.
Let's get a look at traffic right now. Here's Tim Weiland.
All right, Dan, they've just cleared a stall that was in the left lane on southbound 270 at Doherty Ferry. But traffic, like I said, is still jammed up a little bit. It's just a little bit south now from McKelvey. They've also cleared that crash that was on westbound 44 at Bowles, but things are still jacked up between a little bit west of Berry Road out through Bowles. We've got a new crash now, multi-vehicle on eastbound 64 near Highway 157 that had the right lane blocked, and we've got a pretty good backup behind that. If you're traveling on eastbound 40 trying to get into Illinois, you're slowing now from, it looks like, Grand up to the Poplar Street Bridge. Northbound 55 is back to 44, and eastbound 44, you're jamming up from in that right lane from about Compton to the merge with 55. And this traffic report brought to you by Choice Hotels. When you need to travel to an old friend or coworker, there's a Choice Hotel nearby. Plus, you can earn rewards for your stays as members of their Choice Privileges program. Visit choicehotels.com and find a hotel where you're headed. From the Golden Oak Lending Traffic Center, Tim Weiland on the Big 550 KTRS.
There is only one way to predict the future of St. Louis baseball tomorrow, and that's by listening to Memphis Redbirds games on the Big 550 KTRS. Saturday, May 16th at 6.05 p.m., the Redbirds take on the Omaha Storm Chasers on KTRS, your home of the Memphis Redbirds.
For months, you've heard about the latest sales at Granite Busters.
Well, there are other reasons why you should choose Granite Busters for your stone countertops.
Granite Busters has a huge on-site display of slabs.
Over 500 of them.
In just about every color and style imaginable. Most other granite retailers have a few slabs or samples, but make you drive across town to their supplier's warehouse to shop around for the slab you want.
Who wants to do that?
You won't have to at Granite Busters. Granite Busters also offers precision technology. They use a laser templater to capture the exact dimensions of your kitchen. Once you pick out your slab, you'll see on a large computer screen how that exact stone pattern will look on your countertops.
They even match up the color flow with the shape of your counters.
Then they use a laser to precisely cut the slab to your specific measurements. And another machine perfectly cuts the edges, eliminating potential human error and ensures your satisfaction. It's why they guarantee every installation for life.
Nobody else does that.
Granite Busters, the best deal, and so much more. 1752 Jeffco Boulevard in Arnold.
Online at GraniteBusters.com.
What's growing on? Come to Daniel's Farm and Greenhouses in St. Peter's and find out. All of your outside gardening and landscaping essentials are at Daniel's Farm and Greenhouses. From mulch and compost to boulders and flagstone, Daniel's has an enormous selection to choose from. If you have an idea for your yard, but you're just not sure how to get it done, ask one of the experts at Daniel's to help you plan your project from start to finish. Come and see what's growing on at Daniel's Farm and Greenhouses in St. Peter's. Online at danielsfarmandgreenhouse.com.
Dear obsessed fans of St. Louis Bread Company's Strawberry Poppy Seed and Chicken Salad, the Strawberry Poppy Seed and Chicken Salad has returned, only at St. Louis Bread Company. The Big 550 KTRS and St. Louis FC invite you to get your team together for the Midwest's number one three-on-three competition, the 22nd Annual Three-on-Three Soccer Challenge, with 2 days of action, Saturday and Sunday, June 20th and 21st, at the Worldwide Technology Soccer Park in Fenton. Registration is open to males and females from 7 to over 40 at all skill levels. Sign up by May 30th. Go to ktrs.com/3v3 for more info.